Welcome to the Car Deal Advisor Podcast Show. The presenter of this show is Hugh Hetrick. Get ready for special motoring legends and great deals on your next set of wheels. So the five red lights have just gone out and it's go, go, go.
To the Car Deal Advisor Podcast Show with me, Hugh Hetrick, and my special guest, Jonathan Sutherland.
Hi there, good to see you, Hugh. It's amazing to be invited back for, I think, the fourth time. It's incredible. The lawyers haven't caught up with us yet.
And when I introduce you, I'm expecting a crowd of people to cheer. I need to get a sound clip of some applause.
Absolute silence. Yeah. Crickets.
Yeah, it's a bit like May's EU deal.
Yeah, they just laugh. Oh, dear. That's going to be it. That's one for one of our politics podcasts here. We could do an entire series on that.
Yes. I wonder how many views we'll get for that one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But thanks for coming on the show. I know that tonight you've done plenty of research on the Grand Prix. You watched it earlier on today. And so we thought we'd do a quick review of the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix, which I always think is one of the most glamorous GPs of the year. It's a great way to end the Grand Prix season. And also we are going to talk later on more about your favourite car, the Suzuki Jimny.
Of course, it wouldn't be one of my shows without a session on the Jimny. Absolutely.
And of course, because it was recently in a test against the Toyota Land Cruiser. So that will be interesting, I'm sure. And we've got another special of what would you buy? A Land Rover Discovery or a Mercedes-Benz S-Class? They're both exactly the same price. So there's plenty to look forward to on the Car Deal Advisor podcast show. So we'll start with the Grand Prix review. Now, I know you saw it from the word go, and it was really quite a spectacular race today.
It was excellent. Yeah, as you said, Abu Dhabi, it's just such a amazing. I have been there. I've never been to Yas Marinas, which is where it was held. But for people who haven't seen it, the track sort of goes through this beautiful marina with yachts. And there's a hotel which sort of spans the track. And the very expensive rooms look out over the track. I suppose they are probably quite pricey tonight. Amazing race. Really glamorous. Everyone comes out to play. And it makes me think that really, I need to make some money. Yeah, it's a good race. Last race for Fernando Alonso. So quite a sort of emotional race for him. Obviously, Ricciardo's last race at Red Bull. And I think Ocon's leaving. And Ericsson is off to the USA, isn't he? So quite a few changes after the season. So quite a few people you could say would be they're wanting to do their best for their team, or another way of looking at it is that they just don't give them monkeys anymore. And they'll just take out their teammate because he's off to America next year and he never has to see him again anyway. But yeah, great race. I know you missed the start, but for the show, I decided to, rather than go outside and work in the rain, for the show, I decided to martyr myself by watching the thing from start to finish. Hamilton got a good start, but quite a lot of drama on the first few corners when Grosjean and Hulkenberg had a bit of a coming together. And it was a racing incident, to be fair. Hulkenberg was very hot into the corner. And they just came together. There wasn't enough track for the two of them. And normally they just bang side pods. But it just happened that it clipped Hulkenberg's tyre off the front wheel of Grosjean's car. And he went into an amazing sort of barrel roll.
Yes, it was quite spectacular. I did see the clip of that. Yeah. And I watched it from the start when I got in. It was something else. It's all funny though, because when you hear barrel roll, you tend to hear Grosjean in the background.
Those two things do tend together. Yes, exactly.
He seems to go for about three or four races without causing a serious crash, and then all of a sudden his name is always on the headlines.
Exactly. He was more surprised than anyone when he didn't get a penalty.
Yeah, exactly.
On the team radio, he said, "Is he dead?" but it was interesting because they got the obviously the halo devices now.
Yeah.
So they're protecting really from sort of flying tires and wheels, really. But the car flipped over and initially caught fire, probably a bit of oil on the exhaust, caught fire. So all he could see was fire in his mirrors. First time I looked in his mirrors all day, and it was just fire. That's what you get with a Renault. Great deal the Renaults, though, folks.
Yeah, I was still going to work on that one.
Absolutely, that's one of your contacts, Dan. But yeah, he was stuck upside down against the barriers or the fence. And of course, he couldn't remove the halo device because it needs to be sort of lifted from above. And if you imagine the car is upside down, they couldn't get it out. Yeah. So the car is on fire. He's in it. And normally, without a halo device, they can normally just be able to squeeze out. There was enough space without that. He could have just got out of the car.
Yeah.
And he was in. He was on the team radio, and he was worried, as you would be. He said, "Get me out of this thing. It's on fire. I can't get out. I can't get out." Yeah. It's not something you want to hear on the radio. And eventually, they had to actually put the car back on its wheels again, with the electrical charge system from the KERS system still active, had a red light on the top. So they took a few risks to get him out. And I think they need to look at this halo device because, okay, it may save you in certain respects, but he could have been a German fried sausage.
In his coffin, his Renault coffin. The hybrid batteries and all this stuff. I'm just not convinced it's the best way of going about it, really. But no, it was quite exciting. I mean, I think Raikkonen also he his engine seized, I think, wasn't it?
Well, he had an engine failure, so he went out. Yeah.
But there were quite a lot of cars that retired. I think 5 or 6 cars retired today, and quite a few of them went out with problems. I think was it now one of the ones I saw. Was it
another Sauber went out? Was it Leclerc or one of
Ericsson?
Ericsson, that's right. The power just went dead, didn't it?
And same with Ocon for went out as well. Ocon retired later on, and he'd been doing quite well. He'd been having a few comings together, very close calls with a few other cars. But of course, he's going to be a Mercedes reserve driver for next year. They reckon he might come back at some point. And the same with Alonso. That was the kind of breaking news that they reckoned that he's not out for good, that he'll probably come back in a year or two's time when a seat opens up, because I think he was going to do Indianapolis and things next year, try and go for the Triple Crown, and then he'll come back the year after to Formula One if there's a seat available.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's there's lots of good people out there waiting to come back in. And there's one or two journeymen in the teams. I mean, Bottas, they were saying after the race today, he's really not done that well this year.
No. I did wonder, you know, they should have, when Rosberg retired 2 years ago, they should have brought in Button. Button would have been much better. And I know he was wanting to retire from Honda because obviously it was McLaren Honda and they were really doing badly. But you kind of think if they had any, you know, kind of good idea, they should have said Button, come to Mercedes. And because he was a really good teammate for Lewis and would really push him. And also it's British as well. So you get the massive support if you've got two British drivers in that kind of team. And I think he would have done really well. And you never know, he could have won a championship, could have won another one, because they were pretty dominant last year.
It was pretty hard against Hamilton there. He's been pretty much untouchable this year, I would say. But Verstappen's fantastic there. Again, today he was overtaking him. This is where people have never overtaken before. And actually, Bottas just drove into him because he thought there's no way he could possibly have his car there. But he was probably alongside him. He's been absolutely brilliant for Verstappen. He's, I think, my favourite F1 driver now by a country mile.
Yeah, he's much more interesting.
No one goes near him because he's wild. I mean, he just take you out completely. You don't give up the monkeys. You know,
he's a bit like me on the go-kart track. No one goes near you.
The less said about that, the better. Lanza Rossi, not that I remember it, of course. That terrific incident at the hairpin.
Oh, it was fun, but no, it was a good Grand Prix. I have to say, I think we've had some really good races this year. I've been really quite a fan. I think it's gotten, although I'm not so keen on the engines, I do think that the racing has been really close, and I really like GP. Oh, sorry, and now they call it Formula 2 and Formula 3. It's, I think there's some phenomenal the way that George Russell and Lando Norris have been racing this year, and the racing is first rate, and they're only like 17, and they really know the racecraft incredibly well.
It's
so tight. So how they can handle these cars and the tracks as well, which are pretty dangerous. You know, and they go so fast. I think it really says that the skill is definitely there. There's no doubt.
It is. Unless your name is Sophia Flores and you manage to take off and hit a barrier at 171 miles an hour backwards.
No, it was something else.
But it's gone to Macau, wasn't it? Yeah. No, first in Accrington, a great result for Hamilton, of course, another win. It's all good. Yeah, I enjoyed that. I'm looking forward to 2019. And I don't know whether we'll get a chance to look at any of the testing. Probably not, but it would be good fun to get down there if I could.
Yeah, we need some sponsors. If you are looking to sponsor our show or would like to make a rather large donation, then make sure you go to our website at cardioadvisor.co.uk and you can go to the donate page and you can happily see us go to testing next year. That would be lovely.
Shameless hat trick.
You're listening to the Cardio Advisor podcast show with me, the shameless Hugh Hattrick, and my special guest, Jonathan Sutherland. We'll be right back. Come to cardioadvisor.co.uk for all your car rental needs. Whether it's a short business trip or a holiday rental, we can help you in over 53,000 locations throughout the world. And we can also save you money on all your car rental requirements. Simply go onto the cardioadvisor.co.uk website, click the car rental book now link, and that will take you to our rental cars link, and there you can book whatever rental you require. So remember, at cardioadvisor.co.uk for great car rental with huge discounts. Welcome back to the Cardio Advisor podcast show with me, Hugh Hattrick, and my special guest, Jonathan Sutherland. Now it's off to cars and a special car deal that we saw this week, and it's a choice. What would you rather have? If you have a spare £57,995, you could have the choice of a Land Rover Discovery HSE pre-reg with the black pack, or a Mercedes S-Class S350D saloon. What do you think, John? What would be your choice?
Well, we're assuming here that you don't actually need a 4x4. Because most people don't actually need a 4x4. If you live in the countryside and go shooting, yeah, okay, you're going to hit the Land Rover. But most people don't use cars in that way at all. It's a tricky one, isn't it? Because I think the Mercedes is just a phenomenal car. It's by far the best car I drove this year, I think, at Company Car in Action. They made a few modifications to it, and it just drives beautifully. On the downside is, even at £57,000, you know that your brother-in-law just bought an S-Class for £12,000. So there's a lot of money to lose.
Mind you, that is over 8 years or 7 years.
So yeah, but quite an equivalent discovery of that range would probably still be worth nearly 20.
You think? I suppose the new version. I mean, I've driven the new version this year, and I have to say I was really quite impressed with it. I thought it handled so much better than the old one. You know,
it looks weird at the back, Hugh. You can't have
that
car.
It's that number plate which you think must be changed as soon as they can. You think they would
as soon as you can. It's a matter of urgency. Yeah. The number of sales, apparently they've only sold, I don't know, I think it's a long time ago already, 800 in Europe.
Yeah,
that's it.
That's it, because the old one was a huge success.
It was a massive seller, and they sold 800. Because the Italians, they like something that looks good, you know. And somehow, you know, well, I say that, Alfa Romeo, famous for having their offset number plates, but somehow they make it look good.
Yeah.
But not at the back, there's no need for it at the back. You know, the front, an offset number plate, it's got sense, because obviously you've got a cooling system, you need the radiator in the middle, so the Italians put the number plate to the side to get the cooling air in to make their powerful engines work efficiently. But to put the number plate off to the side like that, just bizarre. Yeah. But yeah, as a purchase for me, it's a tricky one. It is. I think I'd probably go with the Discovery just for depreciation's sake. But every time I drove it, I'd think, probably wish I got the S-Class because it just drives so much better.
Well, it's amazing. You can get nearly 50 to the gallon in the S-Class. And that's what they're saying is the combined. And the average is pretty strong as well, which I was really quite impressed with. Because if you're getting high 40s MPG in a car of that, you know, luxury, that's a phenomenal deal, you know, if you're doing big miles. I mean, because before, when it used to be the old V8s and V6s, you'd be lucky to get into the 30s. But to get nearly into the 50s, that's a huge saving. It makes it really quite an efficient, company car. You know, or if you're a director or a company owner, isn't it? It's a great car choice.
Yeah, I mean, and the fact that you can get them a little bit older than that, maybe with sort of 40, 50,000 miles on the clock for less than 30.
Yeah,
I mean, that would be maybe a 15 plate, something like that. It's still only 3 years old, and you're buying the Mercedes flagship for the price of a Golf GTD or a top-end Focus. I mean, well, I don't really know why people don't buy them. Maybe the running costs are high or something, but I don't even know why the running costs would be high, because that engine is the same that would be in a top-end C-Class or an E-Class, which are pretty cheap to run, or relatively cheap to run compared to an S-Class.
Yeah. No, that's the thing. So it's a very interesting one. So for our listeners at home, which would you choose? you can email us at podcast@cardoadvisor.co.uk and we can provide you with one, as long as you can come up with the funding. But it was certainly for £57,995, it's a very interesting proposition.
It certainly is. Or you could spend £17,995 on a Suzuki Jimny and put £40,000 in the bank.
That still seems like a bad deal.
But the Jimny, in the latest test with the Toyota Land Cruiser, it was not shamed by a Land Cruiser, which cost over twice as much. It held its own with a 1.5-litre four-cylinder engine and the five-speed low-range gearbox. It held its own with the Toyota Land Cruiser. I think the Suzuki Jimny is really what everyone needs. Listen to this podcast. Everyone needs a Jimny in their life.
I think I'd prefer a Vitara. In fact, I think I'd even prefer a Vauxhall Mokka.
Don't say that.
Maybe not. It's maybe not that bad.
No.
But although I have to say, an interesting choice would be between the Suzuki Jimny and the Dacia Duster, the new Dacia Duster, because they're very cheap. The new Duster is a bargain. And you obviously get a four-wheel drive version of that for a lot less than £79.95.
You can, but they're different cars. I mean, the Duster is bigger. It's more refined. It's safer. It's more economical. It's got better ride quality. Cheaper servicing costs. Cheaper purchasing costs. Cheaper to tax. Cheaper to run. Why would you buy that?
I think I've let you describe that yourself, as the
way. I might have done. The Duster is phenomenal value. It really is. And they're a great car. You can get a decent spec one, four-wheel drive, 1.6 petrol for about 13,400. That's going to give you Bluetooth and air conditioning.
And it's a Renault that seems to be reliable, which is almost the first, but they do seem to last quite well. You know, that's the thing.
Seem to be reliable because I think they use the most basic components, the ones that they've been making since the... I think they're all based on the Clio from 1990. So they finally got it sorted 30 years later. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's quite a thing. But they're very popular, and I have to say the Renault and Dacia PCP offers on the website and at the dealers are incredibly cheap. I mean, it's still like £129 a month.
For a Duster?
For a Duster, for an absolutely cheap-end Duster. You know, the one that's cost £995, the entry-level one. But that's not bad. It's literally £129 a month with very little down. I think it's about £750 down. It's next to nothing. And it's an absolute bargain at that money. I mean, you probably want to go for one.
Can Cardinal Advisor go on Dacia? Do you have many deals on Dacia, or is it because they're limited on their...
They're so limited, and the PCPs are as good as you'll get in the dealerships, to be fair. So there's not much really they can do on them. But it's a great... I mean, I think as an independent bit of advice, I think if you're looking for a really good car, a bargain 4x4, that you have to put the Duster on your list.
Yeah,
I'd also say the Suzuki Vitara 4x4, the all grip version, is excellent. I was really impressed with that, with the 1.4 turbo petrol.
It's good. It just looks a bit odd. I think the Duster looks more like a sort of 4x4. The Vitara looks too crossovery. It's trying to be too much of a hatchback. Whereas the proper crossovers. In fact, I was looking today at the VW T-Cross. Because, as you know, I'm looking for a small 4x4. But, of course, they don't make a four-wheel drive version of it. So there's not much point in that. But I quite like the look of that. And that's quite a good-looking car. It's going to be expensive, though.
Yeah.
I mean, the basic ones will be about 18. But by the time you get any kind of specification on it, you're probably looking at £24,000, £25,000, which is big money for a polo.
The bargain of
four-wheel drive.
The bargain of the 4x4 one is the Skoda Kodiaq. Because on personal leases, they were just over £200 a month. I think they were about £210 a month, plus if I think they were, maybe even less than that now. But they were an absolute bargain. And that was for a proper four-wheel drive SE DSG. And it's a big car. And if you need a full-size 4x4, it's a bargain. And it's not, you know, it should last pretty well, do good economy, and it's incredibly practical, and the quality is phenomenal. It's like a proper, you know, it's a decent car.
It is. I absolutely love the Skodas. They've got a brilliant range now. And some of the deals that you had on the Octavia were just, I mean, you're going to look like a mini-cab driver. But, I mean, it's a great car, you know, for only, what, £119 a month or something you were doing?
Yeah, it was for the personal lease, personal contract hire, it was £150 a month, including VAT, with about £1,100 down. And that was a two-year deal with 10,000 miles.
Yeah, you can get that in your first few fares in Edinburgh. A good run out of the city on a Hindu, and you've paid for your monthly costs.
Yeah, I think that was for an AC Tech as well. It had sat nav and all the stuff. I think it's even got Apple CarPlay, and I think it's got Active Cruise. So, I mean, it's a bargain for what it is. I mean, where do you get that in one car for less money than you'd pay for a Ford Fiesta?
Yeah, it is completely extraordinary, and it probably is really quite good economy. The servicing costs will be reasonable.
Yeah,
exactly. The running cost of that car aren't really any more than a Fiesta. So, yeah, I don't know why everyone doesn't buy one, really. Everyone should have an Octavia.
Exactly, through cardoadvisor.co.uk.
There you go. That's one you can get. Yeah. And I've just seen there's a new SUV being sold in the UK and Ireland called the Borgward, which is a Chinese SUV makeup.
All right.
Which is bringing its cars across in 2019. So, yeah, we can look forward to the Borgwards coming over.
That sounds terrible.
Which is incredible. It's a Chinese-owned German brand with a range of affordable premium SUVs. Now, you might think it looks a little bit familiar, and that's because, to my eye anyway, basically it's an Audi Q5. But with Borgward badge on it, the Borgward.
It could be a
Borgward. It's called the IQ5.
Really?
The IXI5. I mean, they might as well just call it the Q5 knockoff. I mean, it is just the same. It's absolutely hilarious. But yeah, we can always look forward to the Borgwards coming over.
Maybe we can get a Borgward dealer in Berlin.
You could get one in Duns here. Yeah. You could probably be the UK importer of a Borgward. SUVs. They've got an X6 rival, an X3 rival, and an X5 rival. They look absolutely awful. And it's IM Motors that's going to bring it over. So they obviously bring SsangYong, Great Wall, Hyundai, Subaru, and Isuzu. So it's another one for their stable.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny because we've not heard much about Subaru recently, but there's been a couple of dealers. There's one now in just outside Gala Shields, and then there's a new one, I think you were saying, in Annick, that used to be Dennis Common.
Well, that's right. Dennis Common's a well-known dealership in Northumberland. It's bought out by Tunstain Group, which is a bigger dealer group, and they've relocated it to Annick, presumably to sell the old site for housing, which would be pretty standard.
Yeah. But they've got a good range of cars. And one of the Subaru, of course, has gone all petrol, haven't they? They've dropped diesels as well.
So the deadly diesels have gone. Finally, we're getting rid of the black death that is people. Get it off the streets. Terrible fuel. Absolutely awful. Anyone that drives a diesel should just be ashamed of themselves.
Yeah, really. You and your Vauxhall Golf diesel.
I'm a total hypocrite. I've got a diesel. The economy's phenomenal. But mine's fine. It's just the other people that have them that's the problem.
All right. Well, on that note, I know you're tight for time today. But look, thank you very much for contributing to tonight's show and for being our special guest. And no doubt we'll have you back in a week or two.
I'd be love to do it, Hugh. Absolutely love to do it. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You take care. You've been listening to the Cardo Advisor podcast show with me, Hugh Hattrick, and my special guest, Jonathan Sutherland. Bye for now.
At cardioadvisor.co.uk, we can help you save thousands of pounds on your next new car or van. And we can also source second-hand cars as well. And we can save you money on car rental, whether it be in the UK and abroad. Just click our rental link on the website. And we'll give you a free gift if you trade in your car with We Buy Any Car using our special website link. So go to the website now and see how much you can save. And it's back to the show. Thanks for listening.